You are listening to A Psychic Story, a podcast that shares behind-the-scenes insights of people who lead supernatural lives among the ordinary. And I'm your host, Nicole Bigley. Join me every other Wednesday as I dispel the myths behind magic and lore. Welcome to A Psychic Story. All right. Well, hi, everyone. For this episode of A Psychic Story, I have Candace Thomas on, and we are going to talk about the success sense. What is it? How can you use it? What does that look like? Candace, she's an intuitive, and she also has a book about it. So just wanted to welcome Candace to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here this morning.
Where I start out with all the guests are their story about how they really got started on their journey. So you can get as deep as you want or not, but that's really where I like to just share, you know, have people share their experiences because someone somewhere is listening and probably can relate.
Right. So, I mean, I've been a psychic medium since I was a little girl. I didn't know that I was because I just assumed what I was doing, everyone could do. And the way that my psychic mediumship expressed itself when I was younger, it wasn't seeing dead people or knowing necessarily what was going to happen in the future. I had this ability where people couldn't lie to me. So my parents started out trying to talk to me about Santa Claus. And what it did is it taught me a couple things, and it might sound harsh, but I thought, oh, I can't trust my... As a little girl, I'm like, my parents are not smart if they think somebody's breaking into the house and like putting gifts here. And I would psychically know the presents are here, and I would just go to them. Like, I didn't see my parents put it away or whatever. Like, oh, they're over here, and I would find them. I'm like, oh, my poor parents think someone... And I was like, they're lying to me, and it's important to them that I act like I don't know the truth of what's going on, which was the beginning of people pleasing for me. And then it was also the beginning of not feeling safe in the world because I felt like my parents, why would they do something like that? And obviously I just didn't understand. And it sounds really harsh, but that's kind of like and I remember it so vividly. The other thing I could do is I would like to climb all over things, like climb over banisters, railings, whatever, and freak my parents out. And they didn't like it. But I had this ability, if I got really still and felt in my body, I could feel if they were coming to check on me, you know? And I would get like, so when I felt like, oh, someone's coming to check on me right now, I would then start behaving and being good. And then as soon as they were gone, just start climbing shit all over the place and stuff. As I got older and I would see movies about psychics or read books, it was like, well, I'm obviously not psychic because I'm not hearing a spirit guide or whatever. I just have these feelings and these knowings about things. And then I would, in order to gain approval and acceptance from others, just kind of minimize what I knew. And so I got talked into, I'm a super creative person, but my parents were like, I wanted to be a writer. So I was like, I want to move out to Los Angeles and do the writing thing. And my parents were like, haha, you're not going to do that. You're going to get a real job with the benefits. That was the gold standard. That was the symbol of success. Job, benefits, and that is the gold standard. Especially, I'm Black, African-American, you know, that's like, that is it. And something that was very important to my family too is do not rely on a man. But that's because my parents hated each other. They hated each other day one, I think. I wasn't around. I was conceived after they were married, but as long as I can remember, they didn't really like each other at all. The other thing that happened too, that was very much happens to super empathic and mediums, because I just knew things, being in the right place at the right time, and then people pleasing, I worked really hard. So I was a really good student. And then I had this knack of knowing what people wanted.
You would kind of just mold yourself a little bit because you knew what people wanted.
Yeah, I call it like a mirror mask. Like I would just become what people needed me to be.
That was like how I was growing up. Yeah.
Right. And I had no idea that I was doing that. So I had no idea I was diluting my identity, you know, like I just thought my life revolved around making other people happy at a very young age. And when they felt good, I felt good in my body and everything, you know. And then so my parents were like, no, you're going to get a real job. You're not going to do this move to Los Angeles thing and become an accountant. And then I realized also I had this moment when I was in high school, like, so if I don't get a scholarship to college, I'm not going to college because my parents don't have enough money to send me, you know? And so I had this knack of whatever I wanted, I would get, except for people's love and approval, because I wasn't my authentic self. So except for relationships, everything else I wanted, I could usually get. And so I got really clear about, okay, I didn't say spirit, but I'm like, okay, I know I have this thing where I get what where I want. I was like, I need a full ride scholarship. I want a computer. I want to go to an out-of-state college so I can get away from my family. And which sounds harsh, but and there are other reasons we might get into for that. And then that's what happened. So not long after, one of my friends is like, hey, Candace, there's this thing for federal government full ride scholarship. You should apply for it. And it was due, like it had to be postmarked that day. And my other friend had the stamp on the envelope. And so I did it that day and like free period or whatever, lunchtime, sent it off. And of course I got the full ride scholarship. And the government was like, hey, so we need you to be an accountant, because I was really interested in, if I had to have a real job, I really like science and biology. And math was my worst subject. I hated it. I was really intimidated by numbers. But they were like, hey, we want to give you this scholarship and a set of biology. Are you okay if we move you into the accounting field? And my parents were like, you say yes to that. And so I was like, okay, cool. I'll say yes to that. And it was the part of the scholarship was, you know, you graduate, you work for the federal government for every year that they pay for college. And I got a free, it wasn't a free, but part of the scholarship was they bought me a brand new computer to use at school. And I came up at a time when internet was kind of new, right? So it was still the dial-up modem and, you know.
I feel you on that. My computer in school was like as big enough as my desk.
It was huge.
And it faced the wall and then it was like right in my face.
Exactly. They were gigantic and several large components that were blocky and like it was, but at the time, like, this is the bomb. This is like amazing. And it was, and the college I went to was out of state. And so that was the track I went on. I'm like, cool. And in my mind, I'm like, all right, so I'm only going to work. I'm going to serve my time. I saw it as a sentence, which was not the right mindset, but I'm going to serve my time, get these 4 years in the federal government job. And then I'm going to like leave. Well, that of course isn't what happens to people. I had no sense of self-worth or identity outside of what people were telling me to do. So long story short, I'm in the federal government as an accountant full-time. My total career, my total length of time with the federal government was 15 years. 10 years into my federal career, I got promoted and I applied for and got the job. They didn't just like handpick and select me. And I was a high-level employee. In the federal government, it was unheard of. I was only 27 at the time. And I was like, I was a GS-13. So if you don't know...
I'm familiar with it, but a lot of the listeners probably aren't.
Right. So that's like a few steps down from people who are appointed by Congress, you know? So it's like, I was really high up. Most people I supervised were older than me.
And most people are like, success. You've climbed that corporate ladder.
Exactly.
You're with the government. You're getting benefits.
Guaranteed job. They can never fire you. Yada, yada, yada. You're making great money. So I was miserable though, Nicole. Like I still didn't know who I was and it was getting worse. And the job was super stressful. So usually people have really almost like romantic movies where there's a great meet cute, but a psychic mm-hmm. version of that where it's like, oh my gosh, near death experience or this tragedy or whatever, or like cool stuff or the angel came suddenly, whatever. And for me, it was just the stress of my job, the stress of being a supervisor rewoke my psychic mediumship ability to the point where
it was crushing your soul.
It was. And that's what I said. And I offended some of my employees who found out what I said later, but you know, it is what it is. For me personally, it wasn't accounting and it wasn't the government. It was me in that position. I did not belong. I didn't want to be an accountant.
It wasn't your authentic self.
Like
I don't want words in your mouth because I can only speak my truth, but it's like that. It's like society looks at whether you have the car, the house, the job, the relationship, and they're like, oh, that person must be really happy.
Exactly. You made it. And I felt so betrayed because I wasn't happy. I still didn't know. And it made me very angry. I was so mad at the world because I'm like, you all lied to me. You said if I went to college and you all said if I did this. And then it was exactly what you're saying. Well, if you're not happy, you should just get a house, property ownership. And then, okay, cool. So get a new car, did that. And then it was like, oh, well, maybe I'll travel. And I traveled all over the world when I could. My job was very intense for a couple years when I got promoted. And we were working crazy hours on the job. And, you know, it rolled downhill. My supervisors, if things went sideways, we could get called to carpet by Congress, you know, and then laughingstock in the media. And that rolled just right downhill to all of us. And it was an impossible situation of people demanding that we do more with less. And I was like, I don't know. And as a people pleaser, the other thing that happened is I got promoted from within my staff. So I went from everyone's colleague to suddenly I'm their boss. And when that happened, the staff shifted from overnight. Because I was a people pleaser, I was pretty well liked and I was popular. And then overnight, they all hated me. And that wasn't like me just making that up and exaggerating. It's not all of them, but...
Isn't that a weird feeling when that happens?
It is.
Did you watch Devil Wears Prada?
Yes.
And you know the scene where Miranda, the, you know, the big boss, like, is walking through and everyone's like rushing? That happened to me at a job where I got a very coveted position and it just kind of came out of nowhere and wasn't gunning for it. And the next day I went in, the way people reacted was like that.
It's instantaneous, right? Yeah. Like, and it blew my mind because it was so necessary, because that's what broke my people pleasing. Suddenly I'm trying to please people, and the harder I try to please them, the worse of a supervisor I am. I come across looking wishy-washy. I come across looking duplicitous and a liar, and I'm not standing in my power.
Or not knowing what you're doing.
Exactly. People want to hear. Yeah. And the harder I tried, the worse it got. And so it broke up. Like, that's when I had this crisis, because I could no longer hide behind I'm doing it for others, because they're not accepting that. They're like, close, sorry, you're gonna have to figure out your own life, your own shit here, you know? And so the stress of that, of suddenly being really unliked, and also it was a very challenging staff. They were all extremely hardworking, but they didn't like each other. And they had a whole host of other issues that were happening outside of the workplace.
I already feel the energy on it, tuning in.
Right? Like, it was intense. They're good people though.
Toxic mix.
It was like a perfect storm, but it was so perfect because I was so young and I hadn't had a whole lot of life experience, because I just did the work thing. And I was like, I'm just going to work really hard because I need to get out and do my writing thing, which then I just let go of completely, because I'm like, well, obviously that's not going to happen. And what my psychic mediumship opened up, where first it was my empathic abilities, where I just started getting sick, but I was only sick at work. Like, get really nauseated and throw up when I got home. Fine when I'm not working, but at work, I'd feel like my whole body was filled with sand. And I would get super angry and confused and just mad at the world. And then I started complaining all the time, to the point where people were like, kind of don't want to hang out with you, sis. Like, you know, people say you've got, like, your energy is toxic. Like, I was that toxic person. And so it popped in my mind to go see a psychic, just random. And so that's what I did. And I booked a reading with, at the time, the only psychic I had believed in was Sylvia Brown, because she was on TV. But I couldn't. So I went on this cruise to meet with Sylvia Brown, and she was doing these stage readings, and everybody could ask one question. And my question was going to be, what do I do for a career? Because I got to get out of here. And it got down to, like, I was one of the, like, six people who didn't get a reading. She just ran out of time. And it was incredible, because it was like the lottery in reverse. And I was devastated.
And you went all that way.
Yeah. But the thing that happened was more powerful. Like, I don't think if I'd gotten a reading from her, it would have, not to knock Sylvia Brown, and I know she's passed away, but I don't think it would have been useful. I couldn't hear it. You couldn't have told me anything, because I have to take power and responsibility for myself. And I wasn't about that. I was still waiting for someone to tell me what to do and being a good little girl and doing it. So spirit was kind of like...
And a lot of people will go to psychics for that reason, where, and it, my thing is just what you said, don't give someone else your power.
That's exactly what's up.
It's hard when you're in crisis mode.
It is hard, because you're desperate and you don't know where to turn and everything is confusing. And so the thing that did happen on that cruise, and I was pretty much close to being an atheist. I would have been a flat out atheist, but I kept having these spiritual experiences where occasionally I would hear this voice in my head and it would tell me very true and accurate things, but it would only happen when I was super stressed out. And then it'd be like, oh, this is what's up and it's going to be fine. Like, if not for those experiences, I would have been a full out atheist. So I'm on this cruise with Sylvia, and she takes us through a guided meditation to meet our spirit guides. And I had never really meditated before. I was desperate because I wanted to meet a spirit guide. And when we went through this guided meditation, she has you visualize, you know, you're outside in a summer day, you're walking along a road, and you see some steps that you walk up, and there's your spirit guide. And I walked up steps, and it was Jesus Christ. So you can imagine, I'm not really religious. My parents were super Catholic and super Baptist. They were raised up in those families.
And then you were borderline almost an atheist.
Yeah, my dad had been an altar boy, and they had been forced as children. So they were pretty, like, really lazy in their as Catholics and Baptists, which I'm so grateful for, because I don't know how I would have reacted if I wrote, like, was raised in a strict religious. And so it was like, Jesus? Like, what? And it was so vivid. It's the most vivid I've ever had an experience in my life. It was a full on, like, I wasn't just imagining. I was there in the world. He didn't say anything. He hugged me. By the way, Jesus, the way that my human perceived him, very sexy, looked like Oded Fehr from The Mummy. Look that guy up. Totally hot.
Sexy Jesus. Oh my gosh, I just got chills when you said that.
Yeah. Like, that's how it presented to me. And he gave me this hug. And in that hug, I felt more loved and accepted than I'd ever felt any time in my life. And I believe that that was the moment my life changed, but I didn't know it at the time. I was so freaked out. My human went, Sylvia Brown is effing lying to me. She said it was spirit guides, not Jesus.
That just means that you have super high, I don't want to say on the ladder, on the spiritual ladder, because I'm not trying to do like, you know, higher, lower hierarchy, but that means that you came here to do some real spiritual shit. If Jesus was like there to like...
Yeah. And there was no words. There was no message. It was just being held and loved.
It got you out of your mindset.
It did. And that, well, it did temporarily. I was so shocked. And then I was like, no, this is a scam. So I make myself come out of the meditation and she's still talking about spirit guides. She's still on like walking up the steps. It's totally dark. It's a cruise ship thing. So the thing is just rocking. And I'm like, and I thought people had shined lights or were doing something because it was so bright and I was in this world and it was just, the lights were still dim. And I went, oh no, that was real. And then I couldn't get back in. And then all I could whine about was, and she didn't even give me it. Never mind. Jesus came and gave me this hug that I felt profoundly. She didn't give me the thing about what to do for a career and yada, yada, yada. So I think that was the thing that set me off initially, which I don't tell people a whole lot of that story. So flash forward, I go to other psychics, the psychic twins, Terry and Linda Jameson, who are also on TV, because at the time, I only believed you if you were on TV.
I did reach out to them. They never got back to me, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. I think they put themselves into a lockdown. Like they pulled back a little bit from all the stuff that they were doing. And so they were like, hey, Candace, you're psychic. And I was so rude to them. And I'm like, yeah, if I'm so psychic, how come I feel like my life is falling apart? I'm in a soul-sucking job. I don't know what to do. I don't know who I am. How can that be true if I'm psychic? And they were like, well, tell you what, they were so gracious with me. They were like, how about you just go explore? How about you just take some classes and learn? And then they told me to learn how to do meditation. And so that's what I did. And then it was like, holy shit, yeah, I am psychic. And so then I say that, it took me 2 years to really accept it. Like I kept dipping a toe in and then like, no, I'm already weird enough and I'm an accountant. Like, let's just stay in the safe world. And so when I practiced and studied and I was like, oh no, I am psychic though. I was an accountant by day and psychic by night and nights and weekends. So I had like the two jobs when I went into business. And I was originally at the start of my career as a professional psychic. So I was the person where you came to me and I would predict your future, spirit. And spirit, I mean, source, universe, angels, archangels, like whoever was the highest and the best.
Whatever you believed in. Whatever
exactly. That. So I'd get like, spirit is saying this. People say, is this going to happen for me? And I hated it because I started to feel how much people were attached to what I had to say. I could physically feel them giving me their power and I could feel they're going to be so disappointed if I don't tell them what they want. And it was too much pressure. It never felt right. And other psychics that I knew at the time were like, well, Candace, that's what it is. You can't take responsibility. And I'm like, but this doesn't resonate with me. I don't like it. And so one day when someone was asking me if they were going to marry their boyfriend, I'm like, hey, you know, and spirit's like, they gave me a yes and a no. And I'm like, oh no, this woman paid me money. And I'm about to say maybe when she could have gotten that for free at home, right? But I said it. I'm like, well, spirit's showing me both possibilities. And then it opened up and it was like, oh, but if you want it to be a yes, you've really got to go back to the thing that you felt called to do and work on it. So it wasn't anything like trick your man or whatever. He's got to do whatever. It's like, you've got to go do the thing that you feel called to do.
We all have choice in our
power. Exactly. Mm-hmm. What was more phenomenal about that is when I told her, she was like, well, and she hadn't told me this before, she had this dream job. We're in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And it was some dream job that you usually only do like in New York or LA, one of those type of jobs. And she had applied for something and she'd gotten it. But at the last second, she was like, I don't know if I can make the move. And now my boyfriend needs to marry me. So she didn't tell me that, you know? So it wasn't like a frou-frou in the future, you know, follow your dreams. It was like real time, something had just happened. And if she had said yes to that and stepped into her power, then this thing would unfold. And that blew my mind in a profound way because three things happened. I started with every client who came to me. If they're like, you know, am I going to write a book? Am I going to be successful? I would immediately switch the question to, well, do you want to be? Do you want to write that book? Do you want to have success? And then I would say, okay, spirit, what's the next step for them to take to get where they're trying to go? And there was always an answer. So that showed me straight up these people who were like fate and destiny, and all of us are born into different systems. And the most powerful thing that I can say to anyone listening is right now, today, you have the most power to live the life that you want to live. And it might look like a long journey, but right now you only have this one moment to worry about is you can take the one step you need to take in this one moment. And there's a path for everyone to get everywhere, unless significant like time has changed or passed or whatever, which is a whole other thing. But there was never a time when spirit was like, no, they're here to learn a lesson about poverty. They're here to learn a lesson about not living their life. Oh, they're not meant for that. And there was always an answer, which was huge for me. Cause I'm like, do I not have to be an accountant then? Cause I still have my government job. Like,
you're still doing it full time.
Yeah. I was full time accountant and then psychic nights and weekends.
Oh, you poor thing. You were probably like just at the same time, it was probably feeding your soul.
It was. And being in that high stress environment for the longest time, I'm like, what did I do in a past life to be punished like this? But that was a crash course in, I wasn't good at speaking. I wasn't good at helping people. And the federal government, all I did as a supervisor is I had to make plans and help people achieve them. I had to learn how to communicate. I was in accounting and I had to talk to a lot of non-accountants. So I had to learn how to translate what I was doing into like muggle terms for people who weren't in my specific industry. That's exactly what I do now. It's so crazy. It was like, and then I had to deal with people who had problems that as a 27-year-old, when I first got promoted, I had never experienced. I hadn't experienced a whole lot of grief or divorce or pain or mental health stuff. And all of that stuff I got to witness and just, and then got support and guidance around, here's how we can support our staff and employees, which was so invaluable. So I had to learn about how to motivate people and personalities. And I also feel called to say for anyone listening, if you feel like your life is a punishment, it's like, what are you being trained for? And not like the lesson that you have to learn, but in service to help others, you're probably getting the skills that you need to help to go do the thing that you really feel called to do. And so the thing that was even more powerful than there's always an answer for people is when I would tell my clients after that, like, hey, look, this is the next step you would take. 9 times out of 10, that person would be like, oh, well, that popped into my mind to do a year ago. I dreamt about that last night. Oh yeah, that popped in a week ago. I had a vision about that. And I'm like, holy hell, I spent thousands of dollars and all this time and everyone is freaking psychic. Are you kidding me? Like, it's like, what's
they
going
just, on? We don't want to listen to it, or we want a validation.
Well, they didn't understand it, right? So that became like, when I got that like insight, I'm like, okay, cool. I know exactly what I want to do. I want to teach people how to use their own intuition on purpose so they can live the lives that they want. Because I understood greatly the pain of not having clarity. And then most people do have clarity around what they want to do, but they don't believe it's possible. So then they go into a state of confusion rather than, hey, spirit, what's the next step? So that's kind of how I got started in everything and how I work now. And it was so weird because I started attracting entrepreneurs. I gained a reputation in Albuquerque for being accurate with my prediction stuff. And then when I started asking things in a different way, so entrepreneurs would come and I work with a few that the very first person I had was near bankruptcy. And then when we worked together, and I worked in a very different way than I do now, because I was still the one getting, okay, spirit says this is the next step and yada, yada, yada. And then that person developed their intuition on their own and skyrocketed even beyond our work together. And it was like, got it. I'm not supposed to be still. Like I'm supposed to be showing people how to do this for themselves. And once I got that, and so that took years. And I feel like that's important to say for people who feel called to be of service for others. We get so wrapped up in feeling afraid of, I don't know exactly what it looks like, but it was messy. All of our paths are messy and you have to live through it to like find these little shifts and turns and go, okay, cool. And wherever you are is where you're supposed to be. And so when that happened, that just was a game changer. And then after that, what I started noticing is when people say, you know, you just got to love yourself more and accept yourself more, when they were really embracing and using their intuition on purpose, because in order to do that, you have to come back into yourself. You have to know who you are authentically. And then you have to be vulnerable and willing to surrender to your divine self. They were experiencing this connection where there had been gaps before. So where they were filling their stuff with workaholics or and like distractions, it was like, oh no, I feel kind of, I love myself now. It was really weird and bizarre. And I didn't know how to put that into words. I feel like the most important aspect of the work I do is really helping people remember, like physically feel, not just an esoteric thought or idea that you have to journal about. Like they physically know and feel like, oh yeah, I do feel that connection. I do feel safe. It doesn't mean that there still won't be challenges in your life and things still won't be hard at times, but it's this feeling of, oh man, I probably won't like it, but I know I'm going to be okay. And I know God, source, universe, creator, whatever that word is, has my back. I feel that connection within me, which is profound, because then you really do stop living this kind of passive aggressive resenting this life you feel forced to living that you don't want to live. It's like, oh, I can live the life I want to live and I feel safe enough to move in this direction. And everyone is so different too, in that some people want to be millionaire CEOs and other people just want to be stay-at-home parents, and both things are equal. I've met someone who their whole thing was they wanted to be a janitor. They started a janitorial company. They love cleaning. They love it. And they felt such shame around it because it's like, it's just janitorial. I think I need to get more into internet marketing. And I'm like, are you nuts? Like, if you have a passionate and a calling for it.
Yeah, the world needs everybody in whatever role, whatever. I look at light workers, people like yourself and myself, as like holding the energy and not judging others for the space, because we need it all.
Exactly.
Like, we need all the roles, all the energy, and there, we shouldn't be judging. And we also, I know it's easier said than done, but we shouldn't have that fear of if we're really being called or led to follow our passion.
That's what's up. And some of the work that I do now is like, here's how you connect with spirit and get answers for how you do what you want to do. And that's what I'm encountering now, is people are like, well, what if this is from my ego? And it's like, well, what if it is? If you go full forward, full steam ahead, and the thing that you think you want right now, because sometimes it's all we know. We don't know that we're bullshitting until we get there and like, oh, you know what?
You have to experience it to know if you want it or not in some cases.
Exactly. It's like, what if we just all let go and just embrace started? That's the first step of trust and self-love and understanding. It's like, well, I'm just going to go for it. Because if it is coming from a lack place inside of you, it's going to blow up in your face and you're going to get this lesson and it's going to be great. And if it is in your highest and the best, you've wasted no time, right? It's not a waste of time either way. Like, all the roads are going to lead you to success if you are authentic and honest with yourself. And it's like, that was so scary for me. So, and that was what broke me out of people pleasing. So I was still a people pleaser, even with my psychic mediumship. And it was manifesting in really subtle ways. Like, I did the hardcore stuff and I did so many different things, so many different modalities like EFT and hypnotherapy. And I trained to be a hypnotherapist for a little while and had those types of clients. Like, I did all these things and I was still a people pleaser. And then again, spirit just reset me. So it just kept breaking up all these things. And it was like, okay, cool. I didn't realize I was still people pleasing in this very subtle way. And it was like, what's the kind of business owner that I want to be? How do I want to work? It was really hard to break away from the other psychic mediums who were like, this is what being a psychic medium looks like. And this is what it needs to be.
There's so many stigmas and myths and misconceptions about are even today. Like, I would like to think in 2021, we've made leaps and bounds in a lot of cases we have, but it is still the spiritual aspect of things and the metaphysical is so, how do I say this? Like, Hollywood's put such a spin on it for entertainment value. And people have created their brands to build a business to capitalize on that. And I'm not saying it's right or wrong, no judgments, because there needs to be supply and demand of things. But the actual work itself, I think what the message I'm getting from you is, if you're being called and led to do more spiritual work or more energy healing or more psychic, you don't have to use somebody else's definition of what that looks like. You can create your own business model. You can create what that is, because once you're true to yourself and you're trusting the process and you're authentic to that, then the rest will come. You don't have to mold it or build it out of somebody else's beliefs.
All the systems are dogmatic. It doesn't matter if you're in the super wooey, like Archangel Pleiadian channeling group, there's dogma there. And it's so interesting that people, when you're doing spiritual things, I think sometimes that can lend itself to an extra layer of blindness, like you're like blind spots where you are not aware of kind of the things where you still have limitations. The fact that we have these amazing gifts and abilities doesn't prevent us from being jerks, doesn't prevent us from being like limited in our opinions and beliefs. You know, like, we're still human beings. We're not better than. And so people will speak about the things that worked for them. And it is absolutely true what worked for them, but they'll say that this is the rule. This is the one way. And to your point of the Hollywood effect, I think what happens is people feel pressured because it's like, no one's going to understand unless I do it this way, you know?
Especially if it hasn't been done before.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
yes, that's exactly what's up.
the trailblazer part of it. It's like, oh, people want, you know, I have friends that are looking at doing TV shows and stuff in this world. And they're like, well, the producers in the TV show, they want people to connect with people from the other side. They really love that story. And that's what the TV show should be, or that's what this should look like. No.
Right.
There are a million people out there in this world that are dying for information like this to nurture our souls and our hearts. And that could be mainstream, but just because it's been done 15, 20 years ago, then you think that that's the model.
Exactly. Because that's a proven, like, this is what people go for. All it takes is one person to prove it different, you know? And sadly, here's real talk. People might have really incredible, amazing ideas that they're waiting on. And if you wait too long, the universe, it's not just for you. Spirit needs the work to be out into the world. So what you'll see is if you don't do it, then someone else will. And you'll be like, oh, that was my idea. And it's like, yeah, but you didn't take any action.
I love that you said that, because a while back, somebody had said to me, or maybe I read it, or maybe my Archangel Michael gave it to me. I don't know. But somewhere it was like, the universe gives the same idea in some cases to multiple people, and it all depends on who actually puts it in action. And it could be related to energy work or spiritual work. It could be a business idea that you had that's like how to make the best sandwiches. And you're just like, oh, I thought about that. I had one that was like a $1 billion idea. And I was like, it just feels like too much work. 5 years later, my guy friends were like, hey, that was a $1 billion idea. And I was like, oops, should have moved on it. Right?
Right. But if you had the energy, but this is where trust comes in, right? So it's not to be hard. It's just a lot of people get real triggered and upset. And it's like, look, we all got it. We all got the memo. So it's act on when you can act on it. And there's going to be, there's so much information like that comes in. And the kinds of results that my clients got when I was working with entrepreneurs is they were able to, they were doing crazy things, like doubled their income in 6 weeks in their side gig over their full-time job. One got a download, and this was after we worked together, and they were built up their own intuition, got a download for new technology, and went from kind of like, they were well-known in Albuquerque, but then were able to go to New York and featured in all sorts of famous publications like Vogue and Marie Claire and all sorts of things, you know? So it was, there are so many possibilities. Like, being intuitive really is about in the present moment, instead of predicting the future. What people say, you know, you can't be psychic for yourself. And it's like, yeah, you totally can. The issue is when it comes to making predictions for yourself, you, because you're you, you have access to your full potential. So of course, it overwhelms the brain. You can't see what's going to happen because there are a billion different possibilities. So your brain's like, what are you talking about? And the brain can't say, oh, what is it that you're wanting to do? Let's do this step today. This is the first step to take to get you there. And your brain, your intuition is absolutely going to give you the thing that's in your highest healing and the best to do. Part of the reason why people don't trust it is because people don't understand when it's intuition versus imagination is a big thing that I've seen.
How do you differentiate that, or how do you walk clients through?
So first things first, intuition is your very first hit and impression. And intuition works with your five senses plus thinking. And I call it the sixth sense because it's like all of the, rather than the sixth sense, it's a play on the word.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's great. It's like, you know, we do operate in definitions. So if you can kind of make it more tangible for people, then we can relate. Yeah.
Right, right. Like, because these senses can be used in real time. It's not an esoteric, weird gut feeling, whatever that means, because not everyone gets a gut feeling. It's a, throughout your whole physical body, you will have an experience. But so the first impression is through any of the five senses. The strongest one for a lot of people is physically feeling, but a lot of us are checked out of our bodies. So what that means, you have to build your own psychic dictionary, but the information will be consistent. So the story I always tell is someone, when I was in business, was like, hey, Candace, how about this opportunity? And I was out $15,000. It was a bad idea. At the time that they were first talking to me about the opportunity, I felt like someone had a string in my stomach and was pulling. Didn't feel good. Didn't feel bad. Was like, that's interesting. I don't know what that means. Lost all this money. And it was like, okay, cool. That's a $15,000 mistake. Got it. And so a while later, when someone's like, hey, Candace, how about you want to do this? And I started to feel that same sensation. I'm like, nope, I know that is not good for me. So, and the same thing with people who lie to me, I get a really weird physical sensation in my body where it's like, huh, like I'm feeling a little bit of, it's shifted recently where it's like a little bit of on upper shoulder on my left side. It's like, huh, that doesn't feel quite accurate what you're saying to me, whether the person knows that they're lying to me or not. And it's consistent. So for everyone, with every interaction that you're having, your body is like, hey, here's what's up. It's recognizing similar traits and energies. So the more that people can pay attention to the physical body as they receive information, it's like you're getting all these hits and levels of awareness and it will stay consistent for you. But it, because it is weird, it's not that it feels good or bad. It just feels different. And the feeling is fleeting. It's there and then it's gone mm-hmm. in an instant.
So it's paying attention and being aware.
Yeah. And so it might take a minute to look at, I felt this way and then this happened, and kind of sussing it out and putting a story together. But I would say if you're a person who has had like a long list of grievances and horrible things happen to you, then your intuition is pretty spot on. Like that's a blessing because you probably understand a lot in your physical body. When you have a sensation, you'll probably also get a reminder of this reminds me of da 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 da. And it's, then it's on you to pay attention because intuition is not emotional. There's like a physical sensation. You might get a knowing. You might get, and knowings can be tricky because you just know things. It's not coming from a bias because there's no emotion attached to it all. It's like you have a knowing and then there's usually a physical sensation in your body like, yep, that's what's up. That's accurate. And because it's not emotional, people don't trust it. So that's why people feel so confused is your intuition will be like, hey, go to the mall. And then your brain will go, why? I want more information. And then it's like, you're so lazy. You always want to check out. Why do you want to go to a mall right now? You're not even. And then the emotions come second with the full force and power because, hey, your brain actually does understand. This is your intuitive hit. It understands this is going to move me forward. And if there's any part of you that is still not trusting yourself, is still not loving yourself, is still afraid of your success, your brain is going to do everything in its power to shut that shit down. Not because it's trying to sabotage you, but it thinks it's keeping you safe. So it's going to bring all the emotions to make that initial intuitive hit seem dumb and weird. And then people get into these cycles of, okay, well, if that's true, give me a sign. Okay, well, if that was a sign, give me a sign. If that was a sign, give me a sign until you're like, you haven't taken any action.
And then go to a psychic and then they're like, well, why don't you do this? And then they say something like, I had a dream about that.
Exactly. Yeah. Or you go to a psychic and they say, ooh, I'm sorry. I don't see that happening for you. Which, by the way, if that, it's like psychics only read you from your energy of that moment that they're meeting with you. So the minute you leave and change your mind, you can change the outcome. You know, the minute you make a decision, like the power really is in your hands. But I understand how tough that can be if the psychic was right about 1,000 things, very specific. And then the thing you care about the most are like, yeah, nah, sorry, that's not going to happen. It's very tough for people to believe that it's possible.
Going back to the knowing, I was just feeling led to share some additional examples. I think I've done it on a couple of the other episodes, but it's like simple things like you lost your keys. You can't find your keys. You have no idea where they are. They were supposed to be on the counter. You go back, they're gone, and you get frustrated and you're like, I'm going to be late. I'm going to do all this other kind of stuff. The first thing to do is reframe that thought because you're like, maybe there's something else. Like I'm not supposed to get there on time.
Ooh,
most
I love
people
it.
Jump automatically to a car accident. It may not be that at all. Like I'm not trying to get super dramatic here. It's more of a, you are being led by the universe. There's that. Then taking the car example is another step. You could be going and usually go one particular way because there's a shortcut, you know, and you're being led, like it pops in your mind, like you should go the long way. And you're like, but why? I may be late or I may whatever. And you get into that thought process, just do it. As long as it's not going to hurt you or harm you in that moment, once you start doing those little things, I promise you, like it's going to really catapult you into like the next phase of things because your body recognizes that, your soul recognizes that, your higher self. And so then it starts to build that momentum over time.
Your human, once it knows that it can trust spirit, it will totally trust it. All this, you still might have limiting beliefs, but it will open up enough space where it's like, okay, yeah, I can do that. I'm willing, even though I'm scared, I'm willing to like not shut this aspect of it down. I love that you said that. And I also want to say too, that is sometimes we get the guidance like that. And then it's like, well, nothing happened. And it's like, you don't know what didn't happen. Sometimes you are just, someone has seen you and you have been a beacon of hope or a message for someone else. Like sometimes it's not about you, firstly, and you will never know that because it's just like two ships in a night. A stranger saw you and it really gave them the inspiration and the motivation that they needed. When spirit tells you to write that Facebook post, you're like, the only person who liked it was my mom. Why did I even do this? Or to launch the program. You're like, what? You have no idea how many people you're impacting or affecting. And then the other thing is sometimes it was thinking about that accident or something that would have been a mild inconvenience. It didn't happen. So of course, like it looks like status quo. That's the other thing is you stay in the present moment and let go of the story around it. Like the important things you'll see and it'll unfold for you later. I can't even tell you how many times people have come back. And I thought that something I did was dumb and nobody cared. And then years or months later, they're like, I saw you on this thing or you did that and it touched my heart. I just want to let you know, da, 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 da. And it's like, what if that person had never said anything to me? You know, and I know that happens for a lot of people where they aren't being told how much they're profoundly impacting and helping folks.
Yeah, that's huge. And hopefully that helps. I mean, even just sharing your story about what you went through and how other people can relate is extremely powerful because, and going back to the physical sense too, like you mentioned, like when you were in your accounting job and you were having that physical experience and then going home and removing yourself from the environment, that was probably something like now you would be like, you wouldn't even be getting that sick to begin with because you would be tuned into your intuition and it wouldn't have even gotten to that step.
Well, I mean, yeah, definitely. The limiting belief, if there are any empaths out there really struggling, blocking energy, the limiting belief I had two of them. So there was something inside of me that was giving other people permission and authority to be in my space. And I didn't consciously know that, but a part of me in my subconscious mind was like, hey, no one will love me unless I give them something. So I'm going to give you my energy. That was one of the beliefs I had. And then it was, the other belief I had was, well, people need me. And once I got rid of people needing me, like my whole life changed dramatically and like personally in the other direction in a really great way where it's like, oh my gosh, I can support people in the way that uplifts and helps me. And then I'm not forming all these codependent relationships and entanglements, which I was doing for a long time and didn't realize I was doing because I thought it was helping. You know, help is the sunny side of control. I read in a book once. And for me, that was very, very true. It was this never ending, like, I'm so resentful that the person's coming to me for help yet again, but they can't do it on their own. So it's got to be me. I have to do it. So it was just a trap that the space I was holding on to was this person is not powerful enough and I'm going to fill that space. And that was a very brutal, like, ooh, that's on me, not on other people. You know, it's like, oh, all these low vibe people. It's like, oh no, that's just my shit. Cool. Nice. And once I saw the belief, and it was, I'm talking easy about it now, but it was very hard to deal with at the time and make conscious decisions to be different. And then, yeah. And I resolved most of that while I was still on my job. And so the weird thing that happened is, I really started to, towards the end of my career, really like my job. And I'd gotten to the point, ironically, where it's like, you know, I could do this. Because I kept, in the beginning, I would ask, when I found out I was psychic, I would ask everyone, okay, when can I leave my job? And all the psychic mediums, even the bad ones that I knew were kind of shitty, I would go to them on purpose because I just needed someone to tell me I should leave. Everyone was like, yeah, now's not the time. I'm like, damn it. And so right when I was like, you know, I could do this. I could do both. I'm feeling okay about this. I got the hit really loud in my mind, like it's time to leave your job now. And I had a whole plan about, no, I need to get X many clients to make this many dollars. And it was like, you need to leave your job now, pop into my mind. I didn't talk to anyone about it. But then my psychic friends and associates started calling me. It was so weird, Nicole. And they're like, oh, you left your job, right? I'm like, no. And just on that note too, other ways that intuition can present itself is spirit will absolutely go to your friends. It'll go to your TV. It'll put you in the right place at the right time. And when you get that message, you will feel that resonance in your body like, oh shit. And it's that initial, like, that was for me. You will know it if you allow yourself to. And then of course your brain will be like, no, it's just a coincidence. Who are you to think that that was for you? Why would Jesus talk to you? Why would the angels help you? And did it, like, that's how loud and distracting it can be. So it's like, also I want to say that something that can happen is things that you're drawn to. So stories that you feel like reading, or you're supposed to handle something in your job and instead you watch Netflix and then you're like, oh my God, the show is my life. Like that stuff is very much on purpose, like to trust all of yourself and trust where these messages are coming in. Everyone is getting the guidance. Yeah. And there's more information too. If people sign up on my Instagram, I'm Candace Intuitive on Instagram, and I have a guide, Intuition versus Imagination. And I have different things about how to make your intuition stronger and more details about how to recognize between intuition and imagination if folks are interested.
So curious, how long were you doing your full-time job in accounting and also the psychic work before you decided to like do the psychic work full time?
Oh, I was told, and I wasn't going to go. I just pretended I didn't hear it. And then Spirit was like, it was so weird. I got this performance review from my boss, and I'm usually like high achieving, high performer. You can count on me. And my boss was like, Candace, I don't know what you did this quarter. Like, I'm not sure. And it was so weird. She's like, this isn't really like you. And after that performance review, I heard in my head, if you don't leave, we'll take the job from you. And I went, oh, okay, great. So I'm being given a choice right now to leave gracefully. So I'm going to plan my exit. That was the only thing that got me to leave my job, because Spirit was like that serious about it. But 2011 to 2014 is when I worked full-time accountant and then a psychic medium on nights and weekends. 2014, I quit my job, and then I immediately went to Japan for a couple weeks. It was like, I'm leaving the country, because I knew if I stayed in town, I wouldn't really commit. It wasn't that long. It was just 2 weeks. But so I quit my job, went to Japan, and then I came back, and it felt like so much weight got lifted off of me. Like, I didn't even know, even though I was feeling better about my job, I didn't even know how much I was carrying until I was out of there. And then it was like, I felt so much lighter and freer, and it was wonderful. But I mean, I got very clear on when it was time to leave. And that's another thing for people who are like, well, when do I leave my job? If you're still feeling worried and confused, I would hang in there until it becomes like loud and crystal clear. You might not like it, like I heard, but it was loud and crystal clear. There was no confusion, but you'll know when it's time.
And so people can reach out to you. You mentioned Instagram, but then your website is CandaceThomasIntuitive.com.
Yes.
And how do you accept clients? Like, do you offer classes, or is it just one-on-one counseling sessions?
Yes to both. So at the time that people are listening to this, because of the COVID situation, I've gone back to doing a lot of classes, but they're virtual. But they're really, really great. So I have classes in psychic mediumship development, and not just because you want to be a psychic reader, but here's how you use this in your life. And then if you are stuck or struggling, or you're feeling called to get into action, but you're not sure how, then I can work one-on-one with you if we're a good fit. And I might be launching some groups about doing that collaboratively, because I'm really feeling like people need community right now. Everyone, especially healer, lightworker folks, if you've been doing this alone, like, that time is done. It's way hard right now. And folks really need to collaborate and come together. That's just it. It's not, you're not a loser. You don't suck. It's not that you're not spiritual enough or not aligned enough. It's just, we all, like the, what is it? X-Men or Avengers. We have to come together and do this as a team now, as opposed to everybody doing it on their own. Doesn't mean that we all have to agree or do exactly the same thing, but we all need love, collaboration, and support so we can grow together. Yeah.
I love that. Well, thank you again for being on the show. And for anyone who didn't catch all of the information, I'll be sure to include it on the website and in the show notes. And thanks for being on.
Thank you for having me. I'm so pleased to be here.
Thank you for listening to A Psychic Story. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode, and join the conversation on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. All episodes are free on your favorite podcast player or at apsychicstory.com. Have a question? Is there a topic you'd like to hear more about? Or have a suggestion for a future guest? Send an email to contact@apsychicstory.com or leave a voicemail message at 1-800-880-1881. We'd love to hear from you, and you may even be featured on a future episode. If you're interested in booking a session with me, you can do that directly on the website. And if you want to hear even more content hosted by yours truly, check out my other show, Supernatural Matters. Reminder that you are automatically entered to win either a free 20-minute intuitive or energy healing session with me if you leave 5 stars along with a positive review. Currently, reviews can be left on Apple, Stitcher, Podchaser, or CastBox podcast players. Don't forget to email contact@apsychicstory.com when you do, because it allows me to get in touch with you if your name is pulled in the drawing. Your name stays in until you win.
Hi, Nicole. My name is Hector. I am from Chicago. Let me just start off by saying that I never even knew how I was going to get into this. I was just looking for something to read, something to listen to, and your podcast has absolutely blown me away to a point where sometimes I'm speechless. I reached out to Ellen, who was featured on one of your podcasts, and she also was just amazing. I actually had a chance to speak to her on one of her free healing courses, and it's just amazing. I just don't even know where to begin. But the point of my voicemail to you today was, I'm on, I believe, podcast 36 now. and I've listened to it every day since I became aware of your podcast. And I love all the material. And I would love for you to provide something more on like a reaching your intuition and taming your ego for dummies, per se. Me being one of those, because I would like to learn more about taming that ego and becoming a little bit more intuitive. However, this is something that is completely new to me, but I always kind of knew that it was there. And I'm sure you can relate. And I just want to know how I can tame that ego and just become a little bit more self-aware, kind of like more of a baby step podcast on one-on-one on taming the ego and just becoming a little bit more grounded and into yourself, more self-aware. Again, thank you so much for what you do. It's amazing work. And thank you so much for what I feel is jump-starting my journey.